John chapter 3, if you have your Bibles and would turn with me, please. I want to share a few verses. Matter of fact, I want to share a lot of verses. I really should not take time to read all of it, and I may not, but I will give you the gist and what I need you to hear. Okay? John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou hast done except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered," and I have to put a footnote, I believe with a smile on his face. "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." Now, jump with me down to verse 15, if I can find it. Okay. "That whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I believe John chapter 3, verse 16 is the most powerful passage of Scripture that God has put in his holy word. I believe that this passage of Scripture is the one verse that if Satan could remove from the Bible, he would take it out of there. I believe this is one verse that has touched many people and won them to Christ. In this verse, there are 25 words, and I read from the King James, so I'd be right. There are 25 words to this verse, but not one word is put in there. And how many times have you heard me say, not one word has been put in there just significantly? Every word has a meaning. And if you begin, and I've heard sermons preached on this, I've preached them myself, and then they break it down, and they say things like, well, for God. And they'll preach a while on God, the power of God, the majesty of God, the holiness of God. There's the inseparable love that he has for us. So loved. And they can preach for 10 minutes on that. How God can love us. How can God, as it says in that song, love a person like me? How in the world can God love a person like you? He's magnificent. He's all power. He's the very temple of our religion. He's the very firm foundation of our hope. But look at yourself and ask sometime, how can God love me? I'm so insignificant. I have nothing to offer. And I've heard people say many times, when we mention about giving their talent to God, I've heard people say, I don't have a talent. Let me tell you, there's never been a person born but what they have a talent. And God has given that to them. Well, I can't get up and speak. Praise God, that's a talent. For a lot of people, that's a gift. And that's a blessing. Maybe you can't sing. Oh, everyone can sing. But not everyone can sing in tune. Everyone can sing, but they may not be able to blend in. But everyone can sing. I was going to pick on Bob Sherrill, but he's not here, so I just have to let that one ride a little bit this morning. It's kind of like the story I told one time about the man down in Ferguson, and I tell these. I've been here long enough, I can tell the same stories over and over if I want to. But the man down there, and his first name was Frank. I don't remember his last name. He was the community wino. Now, that man, he would get up drunk. He'd go to bed at drunk, and he made sure during the day that he didn't falter from his habit. This was Frank. I went down to the store one time to get something to drink and a pack of crackers because I'd been hunting all day, and Frank was there. And, of course, it was about noontime. So all of a sudden, Frank gets up out of his chair, and he stumbles a little bit and staggers. Someone said, "Where are you going, Frank?" "Well, I thought I'd go home and fix me some lunch." Someone said, "Well, Frank, I didn't know you could cook." With a whole lot of adjectives, he said, "Huh, cooking ain't the problem." He says, "Eating it after I cook is the problem." So this is like we are sometimes with our talent. We still have a talent, but it may not be like someone else. But God still loves us. He loves us enough that he gave his only begotten son for us. Now, let me give you a little example of what I'm talking about here, the power of this verse. There was a pastor in Chicago one time that got a call from the hospital. Hospital chaplain called and said, "Pastor, we have a member of your congregation here. She's in ICU, and she's asking for you." The man rushed to the hospital. As he went into ICU, there stood a couple of family members, and there stood the doctor. And the doctor pushed him back out in the hallway. And he said, "I could only allow you 2 minutes with this woman. She's very, very critically ill." Now, you would think when she asked for the pastor, she wanted to talk to the pastor because she was not satisfied with her salvation. The doctor would say, "Come on in. That's more important than anything else." No. He pushed him back out in the hallway and said, "I only give you 2 minutes with this woman." 120 seconds. Think about that. What can you say to a person who is concerned about their salvation, concerned about their relationship to God? He prayed. And finally, he walked in and God revealed to him. He simply said, "Ma'am, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will, and that includes you, may accept him and not perish." He says, "Now repeat after me this prayer." He did it in a minute and 45 seconds. And the woman praised God. She actually about shouted in that ICU because all of a sudden she realized that no matter who she was or what she has been, no matter her relationship to God or the country or the world around her, God still loved her. And she was accepted. "For whosoever will believe on him," and she accepted Christ. D.L. Moody had a pastor come and do a revival for him one time. And this man's name was Henry Morehouse. Now, you may have read some of his articles, a very well-known writer. And he had him to come to do a revival. Now, like Mr. Morehouse, I've done a lot of revivals. But no one has ever sent me a letter and said, "This is what we want you to preach on. This is how we want you to approach this." They always leave it up to you and the discretion of God. So it happened this time, and D.L. Moody was surprised when the man got up on the very opening night of the revival, and he said, "My text this morning is John 3:16, and he preached eloquently. Got up the next night, and he said, "My text this evening is John 3:16. Every night of that revival, he preached on John 3:16. D.L. Moody asked him after it was over with, he said, "Why in the world did you preach from the same text? Not that it wasn't good and not that I wasn't blessed, but why did you preach from the same text?" You know what he said? "Invite me back next week and I'll do it again." He said, that is the nutshell right there of God's love and our relationship to him. That is a relationship that we need to have with him. And we must, each of us, have that. Now, I want to tell you briefly what I think God's love is. And then I'll tell you these things because we're going to lead into our communion. And it's because of these points that I'm going to share with you why we do this and why God gave his son Jesus Christ that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. And it's all about him. Why? Because he loved us so. There is no way in the world. I know some of you love each other. I know Mary loves Butch with all her cook. She couldn't love him any more than she did. Well, anyway, we won't go there. But that's nothing. That's nothing. And I know each of us love our mate. We have someone that we're very near and very dear to, and we love them with all of our heart. Some of us live with someone that we could do some improvement on that and showing our love and showing our affection to each other. But do you know something? God never falters. No matter who we are, no matter what we are, God never backs down. He loves us sometimes in spite of ourselves. You've heard that. He loves us in spite of ourselves. So let me share a couple of things with you here. God's love is not earned. You can't earn God's love. No matter how much you do, no matter how many offices. I knew a man in West Virginia when I was growing up there. His name was Elmer. I can't remember his last name. But anyway, he was an old goat. And he belonged to this church about all of his life. Medley. Elmer Medley. Now, he was the elder in that church. They had elders. He was the elder of that church, and he was so proud of it that he told everyone he came in contact with, "I've been the elder of this church for 45 years. It didn't matter the responsibility to him. It's how many years he'd been there, how many years he'd been an elder. But I'm going to tell you right now, 45 years of dedicated eldership does not merit you God's love. So do what you want to do. Give what you want to give. Show your name out. Let your name be known. It does not make a difference to God. God is going to love you unconditionally anyway. So you can't earn it. It's a gift. And that's why so many people have a hard time grasping it. I mean, what's free today? You know, if they say it's free, look out. You're fixing to pay the biggest price you've ever paid. But not with God. And we cannot earn that. God's love is unchanging. It never changes. He loves you as much today as he did the day you were born. He will love you the day you died as much as he did the day you were born. Because his love is unchanging. And it will never change. God's love is universal. God loves the people in the annex as much as he does the people in here. God loves the people at home that are not in church as much as he does all of us. God loves the whole world, and it's universal. Some people are not going to be accepted by him when that trumpet sounds and the end day comes, because he knows our works, our minds, and our attitudes. And let me tell you something. If we have anything negative in our heart and mind today, we need to get rid of it. We need to get rid of it. My father pastored a church in Baltimore, Maryland. I can't remember how many years, but that's where I was when I graduated high school. He had a man in there that almost repeatedly, when David would preach a sermon, he'd always meet him at the back door. And he would have some comment to make about his sermon. Criticism. Not encouraging, but criticism. He came out one day, and he said, "If God loves the whole world, how can he love," at that time it would have fit, but it's left on what he said, "how can he love the Muslims and the terrorists? Because they're his children. God does not love what they do. God does not love their background. God does not love their past, but God loves their present. And yes, God loves them. They don't love him. They don't love him." And he criticized my father's sermon because my dad said, "God loves everyone in the world." And he does. It's universal. It's universal. The worst friend that I could ever think of, the person who's done more harm to me than anyone in this world that I can think of, I may not love them for their actions, but God loves them as their child. Forgive it, forget it. And that's God's condition right there. It is because of this word of God and the love in John 3:16 that we partake today of this holy sacrament. It's because of that love. He doesn't care about your education. He doesn't care about what kind of car you drive. He doesn't care about the home you live in. He doesn't care about how you speak. God doesn't care about that. He cares about you. And he cares about me. And he loves me. That's why he gave his son for a sacrifice and a ransom for our sins. Do you believe that today? If you believe that today and you have accepted him as your personal Savior, as you've heard me say many, many times, this communion is what we call an open communion. This communion is for everyone who believes that you fall under that love of God. And we invite you today to partake with us and to share in this.